The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. The two Marys and Salome went to the tomb on Sunday morning to anoint Jesus' dead body. But they found that his body wasn't there. And a man, a young man, not Jesus, was sitting there and telling them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Is that really the end? We ask ourselves. It can't be. And those of you who have your Bibles out will say, "Oh, no, 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 there's more. There's something called the shorter ending of Mark that comes right after this passage. And then there's another whole section, verses 9 through 20, called the longer ending of Mark. And these endings talk about how the disciples met Jesus after his resurrection and what they did and how the proclamation of Jesus' resurrection began. But when you read those passages, even without the footnote that says that the portions after verse 8 are marked as doubtful by ancient scribes, they sound like editorial comments, not like primary gospel material. So it appears that this abrupt ending is the authentic conclusion of Mark's gospel. It gives us, in the words of Lutheran scholar Don Jewell, the presence of both promise and disappointment. The promise that the disciples would see Jesus again in Galilee, and the disappointment that they found an empty tomb. The message that the women were to deliver to Peter and the other disciples about Galilee would bring them full circle, since it was in Galilee that Jesus met and called them. And now he promised that he'd meet them there again. But what were they to do? What were they to say about his resurrection? This was a new reality. They just started getting used to the reality of Jesus' death. And now, all of a sudden, here was an even newer reality. Or as we have come to call such changed circumstances recently, a new normal. A year ago, we were hoping for and probably expecting a changed circumstance to our lives for only a short time, maybe a few months. And now it's been a little over a year. And we're hearing that maybe in the coming summer of this year, we'll have another new normal. We can identify with the disciples' confusion and fear. Fear about what it means to declare that someone is back from the dead. Fear about what it means to step into the role of discipleship, dealing with so much human suffering and death. For 3 years, they had hoped in the new teaching that Jesus shared with them. They had heard the questions and seen the works of wonder that addressed people's needs. And then their lives were disrupted. Are we fearful like they were? Of course, we have the benefit of the hindsight of more than 2,000 years of proclamation of Jesus' resurrection and ascension to rely on to understand what was going on. But we most likely have some level of anxiety, if not outright fear, about how this whole pandemic thing finally is going to unfold. Are we not afraid of the disruption in our lives because we rely on Jesus through the Holy Spirit to keep and protect us, the whole world, from the effects of the pandemic? That's a great source of comfort and security. Even though there are terrible effects from the pandemic, as of this morning, 2,844,807 people have died worldwide. There is still hope. So what do we make of that spiritual presence in our lives? How do we address God at work in our world today? How do we carry out the role of disciple that Peter preached about in the reading we heard from Acts? And that Paul wrote about in his letter to the Corinthians, a portion of which we also heard. How shall we proclaim the resurrection of Jesus and the promise of salvation from our sin? How will we serve the people who are in need in our communities and throughout the world? If we accept the millennia of testimony about Jesus' resurrection, then we need to find ways to make the proclamation our own, in conversation, in emails, in tweets and DMs, in TikTok videos and Instagram messages and YouTube recordings, all on social media, in podcasts, in letters, prose or poetry if we are writers, in song if we are musicians, in any and every way we are able. Like the first disciples, everyone has our own experience of the resurrection and our own encounter with the risen Christ. That diversity of experience is fine. In fact, it's God's doing. It's God's creation. That's what Peter is preaching about. And once we've received the gospel and been touched by it, then we have to pass it on again, as often and to as many people as we're able, as Paul instructed. Because this is the message that our disrupted world needs to hear in order not to be afraid, in order to be committed to safe behavior, to keep the spread of COVID as limited as possible, even at this late stage. This is part of the new normal for 21st century disciples of Christ. Because this is the message that our disrupted world needs to hear in order for us to be committed to restructuring our society so that it is a place of equity in life for both citizens and non-citizens, in work, in housing, in health, in justice. This is also part of the new normal for 21st century Christian disciples. because this is the message that our disrupted world needs to hear in order to be committed to treating the created world with care, restoration, and protection. This is also part of the new normal for 21st century disciples of Christ. We know that even though the three women were terrified and amazed, even though they fled that early Sunday morning, eventually they said something to someone because, well, we're here today. The link to that morning may be long and circuitous, but it is undeniable and it is life-giving. So how will you react to the good news that Jesus Christ is risen? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.